Talking.Golf is on the air. Talking.Golf is our regular podcast featuring interviews with newsmakers from the world of Wisconsin golf. And now here's Rob Hernandez with this week's guest. And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez here. It is our attempt here, now that the tournament season is behind us, to get Talking.Golf back up and running and talk to some of the golf newsmakers from the past year, looking back on 2025 and looking ahead to 2026. And I can't think of a better way to kick it off than with my first guest. If you play golf at Sand Valley, maybe you ran into him. If you monitor our coverage from the Wisconsin State Open, he was in the field over at Black Wolf Run. And we welcome into the podcast here this afternoon, Juan Andres Hurtado Molina. Juan, when I saw your name the first time, I said, boy, that's a mouthful. How much of your name do you go by competitively, and what should we call you?
I like to put my full name into it, but people call me Juan, though, just by the first name.
I love it.
Yes,
I just
go by Juan, but whenever I put it on the leaderboard, I like the full name to be like Juan Andres Hurtado Molina.
I love it. You know, I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's pretty unique.
Well, and Juan, when you popped up in the field for the Wisconsin State Open, you had my hometown next to your name, Wisconsin Rapids. That's where I grew up and played all my golf as a junior golfer. So I was immediately interested. And I know that a lot of the Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, maybe even a Stevens Point mailing address these days, could be any number of people associated with Sand Valley. And that's what brought you to Central Wisconsin. I guess let's start there. This was year one for you at Sand Valley?
Yeah, that was year one for me. If we go all the way from the beginning, it all started because I started playing golf at 10. And then when it was around 14, Johnny Vegas won on the PGA Tour.
That's
right. He was the first Venezuelan that had made it on the PGA Tour. And then the idea of, whoa, like, you know, you don't have to be from America to win.
Right.
And then thanks to him, the idea of like, oh, maybe I want to go to America and play some golf, start to marinate. And then I came here, and then, years went by, and this was my first year in Sand Valley.
Well, and we should, mention to our listeners that you are originally from Venezuela, but you played college golf at Hannibal LaGrange University. And that's, tell us where that is and what that experience was like for you.
Well, Hannibal is a little north in Missouri. It's like in the border between Missouri and Illinois.
Sure.
And it's a little small town where the writer Mark Twain is from. So I went to school there for 4 years. I played golf there. And it was a really nice experience. It was like my first experience here in the U.S. And I really liked it. I met a really nice people. I played a lot of golf. So that was kind of like what got me started here on the golf world. And since I was there, that was when the first time I started here in Sand Valley. But I didn't pay too much attention to later on, where a friend invited me to go up there. And this was my first year there, and it was amazing.
Well, and the purpose for having you on here is a number of things that we'll get to. But what really stood out to me about you was you were one of like a half dozen at least Sand Valley caddies in the field at Black Wolf Run. And I know we had some in the field at the state amateur at the Lido, but you also, prior to the state open, you almost qualified for a PGA Tour event, the 3M Open up in Minnesota, tied for fifth along with a guy that many of our listeners are familiar with, Thomas Longbella, who played his college golf at the University of Minnesota. So you're more than just a caddy. This whole caddy thing here, everyone that is caddying at Sand Valley has a story. To me, your story is perhaps one of the more unique ones out there, because you are trying to earn money to try to play professional golf and achieve that dream. What order does all that work, Juan? How are you trying to make this all happen?
Well, it's not easy, but I believe it's not impossible. Sand Valley is the best place I've found anywhere, because it's like the perfect combination to work and put some money in your pocket and then being able to play all those courses. You can, like, the resort does such a great job with the workers like the caddies, they allow us to play there after some time after the last tee time. So, you can caddy in the morning. Also, that it helps a lot that we have a great bus, Vinny Lacerra. That's the best bus I've ever had. So, when I first got to Sun Valley, I told him right away, he's like, hey, my dream is to play on the PGA Tour. And of course, I'm here to make some money, but I want you to know that I'm going to be playing some tournaments here and there. So I just saying this up front. So, if I put some days off and if I ask some days off, it's not because I'm going off partying or something like that. It's just because I want to play golf.
Right.
And then right away, he told me, like, that's amazing, dude. I'm going to help you. I'm going to support you. So having Vinny that understands the situation, it makes me feel very comfortable and supported. So he makes the managing time makes it a little bit easier. So pretty much I just caddy in the morning and then the rest of the day I just play golf. And Sun Valley has the strongest golf caddy yard that I've ever seen. Like probably the average handicap of that caddy yard is like around a five. So anyone there that you see is an amazing golfer. So you can finish your loop and you can play with whoever is down to play and you're gonna have a good time because there's a lot of great golfers there. A lot of them.
And we've seen over the last say 5 to 10 years, Adam Miller has contended in state amateurs and state opens, Sam Cianciola, and now I told you this at the state open. When I saw your Wisconsin Rapids next to your name, it conjured up memories of when I was a kid. We had a minor league baseball team in town, and every summer a new crop of players would come in with the dream of playing Major League Baseball. It was the Class A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. And we had a couple guys, Kent Herbeck, Gary Gaetti, get to the big leagues, play in the World Series, realize that dream. So the baseball route to that dream went through Wisconsin Rapids. And now your golf route is going through Wisconsin Rapids and Sand
Yeah.
Valley, just south of town. It to me, there's a symmetry there. And if you could sort of take us inside the caddy room at the caddy barn at Sand Valley, what is it like there? How many different nationalities are you seeing? How many?
Oh.
And what is an average? What does a Sand Valley caddy look like in terms of what is their history? What are we seeing there?
Well, it's pretty cool because you have a little bit of everywhere. You know, have people from all the way from Africa and like all over. You have people from Europe. You have Americans, you have people from Canada. And then you have also people from Latin America. So when you step into the caddy house, you're seeing people from everywhere and everybody plays golf. So, and not just that, the environment is a very healthy environment, everybody's in a good mood. Everybody loves golf, so everything is surrounded by golf. So when you get in there, everybody's looking forward to see who is down to play that afternoon. So like, if you want to play golf, you don't have to worry about that. You know that after your loop, a lot of people are playing golf. So you just gotta see who is at your time to play some golf. And just a normal day is pretty much you get into the caddy house and you check in, and then everybody's asking each other like, hey, you're playing golf today? Where are you playing golf? What time are you playing? So
Sure.
pretty much you can make your tee times that same day for that same afternoon. So it's pretty cool because it's so many caddies that you get to meet a lot of people and they're very pretty good at golf.
So what was the summer like for you? What do you have any good caddy
Oh,
stories?
it was amazing. It was amazing. Thanks to the caddy house, I became the golfer that I'm now because the competition is so high and everybody wants to see what is everybody about. And it's just amazing, They made every Friday they have a game that is let's see who is about that action, and they play the game on a bullseye, and to win that game you have to shoot around 6 to 8 under to win that game, so
Wow.
it's like 20 people playing, and if you don't go low you you don't have a chance there,
That is funny because,
so.
and you bring up that was my home course growing up in high school, Bullseye Country Club, now Bullseye Golf Club in Wisconsin Rapids. When I played at Lake Arrowhead, it was Twilight Golf about 2 years ago, after the state match play wrapped up over on the Pines course. I played with two or three other caddies from Sand Valley that were out playing. You've got a lot of opportunity to play in that town, don't you?
Yes, you got Bullseye, you got Lake Arrowhead, which I think is an amazing track. You have also the Ridges, and
Yep.
then you have a place pretty close to Sand Valley, that is a replica of a lot of holes. I can
Oh
catch
yeah,
them right now.
Northern Bay.
Northern Bay, amazing. And
Yeah.
all those places do a really good job with the caddies because they treat us pretty good and they give us a really good rate. So like everywhere is pretty wide open to play. So you're not gonna get bored of always playing the same course again and again and again. So wherever you look, you have different choices.
Sure.
So it's pretty nice because today you play one, tomorrow you play another one. So like practice wise, it's amazing because you never get used to one. And it's pretty cool.
So when you came within a shot of qualifying for the 3M, what did that tell you about where you were with your game and how did that kind of feed the hunger of trying to make it professionally?
That was huge, you know, because that made me that day I didn't do the things I thought that to deserve and to have success in golf, you have to be perfect. And that day things were not perfect. And I still had a chance, you know, I signed the scorecard and it was at 6 under and I was tied with some people there still in it. So I told my friend that was with me, I was like, let's go warm up. And during the warm up, thinking that I was gonna go out to play golf, I was thinking, man, like, you know, like I'm good enough. And that thinking, that's because I thought that I was good enough to play on the PGA Tour. That is the best warm-up I've ever had. Like everything was flushed, everything was perfect. And it was just a mental state that it was the first time for me that I got into it just because it was almost a reality that I was in because I saw my name, you know,
Right.
qualified. So I was thinking, you know, then I'm just gonna after this, I'm gonna go check in into the course and tomorrow I'm gonna be playing I run a golf, and maybe with Johnny, that he's
Right.
from the same country. And he was the one that won the tournament the year before. So
Wow.
like all those things were going through my head, and I was believing that I was, you know, tour level.
Sure.
And how I strike the ball in that warm up, it was amazing. Then an official came and told me that another guy came with a 7 under, and it was done. But that little period of time where I thought that I made it. It was amazing. So it made me realize that it wasn't about physicality, it was more about a mental state. So it
Yeah.
made it become more real for me. And it gave me a lot of fuel of like, man, I was so close that if I just keep going at it, at some point it will happen, you know?
And then shortly thereafter, you did play, as I mentioned, in the State Open. You shot 78, 68 to make the cut at Black Wolf Run. A unique setup this year where they played both the River Course and the Meadow Valleys course, probably two courses you knew nothing about. For most,
Yeah.
nobody knows anything about the River Course. So it was a tough go. And then you got to the 36-hole finale, and you posted a score. If you go on our site, I'm not sure I've even changed the final scores yet. You might still be in the place that you finished, but ultimately you went back to the WPGA and disqualified yourself. Why don't you take our listeners through what happened there that t caused you to call a DQ on yourself?
Yes. Well, first of all, those courses were amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to play the river course to practice, so I just played it the first day, and that course is just as pure as it gets. I'm in love with that course. So yeah, the course were amazing, and then on that last day, we were doing digital scoring. So I
Right.
was playing with this kid, Cody, who is he is 16 years old. Great talent.
Yep.
Really, really good kid. He has a bright future in front of him. And then I play with this guy, Sullivan.
Yep.
So
Sullivan Grant.
we played our 36 holes, and then we got to the scoring table. And then when I'm about to sign, Sully tells me that on 11, he made a birdie. And I think I put him for an eagle. So I had to go all the way back on the phone to change it. And I changed it. And I told him, hey, is it done? And he was like, no, it's not done. So I had to go back and change it again. And I think when I did that, I probably changed his and mine too, because
Oh,
I got a
wow.
par on that hole.
Sure.
So then 2 days go by, I signed the scorecard, and 2 days go by, and I'm talking to my mom and I'm showing him, yeah, let me send you the link. And we're going, you know, hole by hole, explaining what I did. And then I see that in hole 11, I have a birdie. And I didn't make birdie, and I made a par. And the funny thing is that that morning, the Wisconsin Open sent me an email to send all my information for the money that I earned.
Sure.
So then at that night, I was thinking on my bed, I was like, man, you know, I don't want to receive this money But it wasn't because of money. I don't want my playing partners to get into the website and see that I signed up for a lower score that I actually did, because then they're gonna think that I'm a cheater. And in
Right.
golf, there is no worse thing that if you're called a cheater or if they caught you like trying to cheat. So I was like, you know, the right thing is just to call and say what happened. And I was thinking they were gonna say, yeah, it's all good, but like, you know, the right thing, it was like, we need to use to disqualify. So it
Yeah.
was like, okay, that's fine. And that was actually the first time that happened to me, but my conscience was gonna feel way calmer and way better knowing that I did the right thing than knowing that I signed up for something that it wasn't, and it was my fault, you know. I
Right,
just not
right.
used to that digital scoring, but it was just you know,
It was
part of
an
like,
innocent mistake, Juan,
yeah, it was an innocent mistake.
and the other thing, about that is, and you've been probably ever since leaving Venezuela, you've had to make first impressions almost every day of your life, and now especially as a caddy. I mean, you're making,
Yes.
what do people think of me the first time they meet me? And now, when someone hears that story, they're going to say, "Wow, that's pretty upstanding of you to do that in that situation, given that it was, something that had nothing to do with the score you made on the hole."
Yes. So, you know, I didn't want to have that because so I just tried to, I just wanted to do the right thing and be at peace with my consciousness, because I felt like then the golf gods were gonna punish me later. So,
That's right.
yeah,
That's
so I
right.
was like, no, the right thing is just to do what's right, and that's why I called them and told them what happened, explained the situation, and then DQ myself.
So as we
And I
do,
also text my playing partners, you know, I text
sure.
my playing partners saying what was happening and what I
Yes.
was about to do, and you know, they were like, you don't have to, but you know, if you want to, like, we'll
Right.
support you,
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things with that live scoring. It's still as much as it's become part of the landscape here in competitive golf, there's still some bugs to work out in that the fixing
You
of the
have to do it
score is
very
one of them.
patiently. Yeah, you
Yes.
gotta be very, very patiently, and you know, just take your time, because with a simple click, things
Yep.
can change. So
Absolutely.
you just gotta take
Absolutely.
your time there.
Well, and again, we're talking to Juan. Mo, I'm going to call you Juan. Which of the last names should I call you to shorten?
Molina.
Molina. Juan
Yeah.
Molina.
Yeah.
So we're going to go that. His
Okay.
full name will be on the podcast, folks. So by the time you hear
Perfect.
this, you'll be seen. But we're doing this podcast on the day that Juan has just completed play at the pre-qualifier for the RSM Classic, another PGA Tour event. This one didn't go quite as well, correct?
Yes, didn't go quite as well. Shot 76. I just had a rough start. I started with a double and then bogey the next two holes and then just pretty much par the rest. But you know, pre-qualifiers are like that. Either if you have it that day, it's good.
Right.
But if you don't, then you just gotta hang around and see if you can come back. But it was good. It was experience. It was for me the last pre-qualifier of the year. So now it's just pretty much just building up for next year.
And that leads us to what is next for you, Juan. And I think part of this too is, being from a different country, it's not as easy as it is someone that's grown up here. And, the end of one season, you just wait for the registration for the next season,
Yeah.
to start entering tournaments. You've got a lot more on your plate. Tell us what has to happen for you to be back here next year, and also, where does Sand Valley fit into it? What might be your journey as you start 2026?
Well, first of all, I'm applying for the O1 visa, which is a talent visa for people that play sports,
Sure.
and I'm applying for that in December. And Lord willing, that will get accepted. So then I will make my plans for, well, my plans are already made for next year, but then I can run my plans for next year. And pretty much just play the pre-qualifiers that are here in the Florida Swing, which will be the Cognizant
Yep.
Classic, the Valspar, and then LEMCO for the Korn Ferry Tour.
Right.
And then, of course, play Ocala Open. And then play some tournaments from the minor league of Florida so I can warm up for that. And then Sand Valley is in the cards because I believe that for me, Sand Valley has helped me grow personally and also as a player, because I never played links golf until I
Yeah.
got to Sand Valley.
So
Right.
when I first saw Lynx Golf, it made me a way better player, and it made me more versatile because it made me hit shots that I've never hidden ever. So I think for me, Sam Bali has probably one more year because it, like, mentally, it made me stronger. And also, there is a lot of people there that helped me to become a better golfer. So I feel like one more season at Sam Bali will set me to play Q School and have a really good shot at it. And so pretty much those are my plans, you know, play those pre-qualifiers, play those Ocala Opens. If a state open comes into the way, I will play it. And then if it's Lord's God's will, I will be in Sam Bali for the beginning of the season, and then we'll see what my results are there golf-wise. But that's the plan pretty much.
I should have asked you this question earlier because we ask it of everybody who caddies out at Sand Valley. What's your favorite course out there?
My favorite course out there, Sand Valley.
Is
Sand
it?
Valley, my favorite course, yes. Actually, it's kind of hard because it's between Sand Valley and Lido. So if it's windy, I'll pick Lido. But if it's just a cut, yes, because Lido is an amazing test. I am a Lido lover. But if it's just a normal day with not many wind conditions, Sand Valley is amazing.
And you have such an upbeat personality, Juan, and you had to come so far literally and figuratively to get where you are. And I've talked to dozens of young golfers in your position that are trying to get to that point of of maybe entering Q school, but certainly playing Monday qualifiers, playing the professional events and the opens, and it's not always as rosy as it looks at the end of that process when you see these guys at the Masters and at the US Open and at the British Open. How do you stay upbeat? What's your advice for people that to be able to really immerse yourself in the one day at a time approach to playing competitive golf?
I believe that to get to the elite in golf is a long journey. So whenever you have a bad day or you have a bad week, not to beat up yourself too much, because you gotta see the long run, how much. Sometimes you might play a tournament and you might not score well. But then you're managing your emotions better. You know, you used to get really angry and lose control 2 weeks ago, and now this same situation is happening, but you're controlling yourself better. So I feel like the how you understand yourself and understand your emotions and know how to channel them to have a good behavior that allows you to play good golf, to be in a calm mind, is a process that it takes time. And so knowing that, I believe that you have to really be in love with if you decided to play golf, because it's a long journey, and some you might explode, you might see the results right away, but also you might not. You know, I feel like this is not golf is not a game to have comparisons, because if you compare yourself to Tiger or to Niemann, that they made a tour when they were even before their 20s, and
Right.
you are 24, 25, and you're still not on any tour, you might get frustrated. But like, I believe that everybody's in a personal journey, and I believe that elite golf is a mental mindset, you know, and it's different for everybody. Some people get to the mental clarity earlier in life, and then some other people takes more time. So the advice for me will be to stay patient and to really have fun, you know, because
Yeah.
it's really, if you're gonna play golf and you're gonna have fun and you're gonna wanna enjoy the trips, regardless of the result, it's better to just do something else and do this for fun, you know, not trying to achieve something. So for me, it's just to be patient, have fun, and just enjoy. Like, enjoy the people you meet, cherish the relationships, because you know, sometimes I feel like we get caught up on the result, and we're worth whatever we should. And actually, that's not true. You know, we're all gonna die. This we are just deciding that we want to play golf at this time of our life.
Right.
So we have to treat ourselves nicely. We have to treat other people nice. And if we're playing good or bad, I think we have to be conscious that it's more important how you treat others, you know, how you make other people feel, because people remember how you behave and how you make them feel. Mostly they don't they just they don't remember what you shot, or if you shot 100 or 70. Yeah, they might remember, oh yeah, he won here and there, but like, I feel like it's way more important. Like, oh yeah, that guy, he made me feel really good. I will stay with them longer. So I feel like that's way more important to focus on the relationships and just to have fun. You know, golf is meant to have fun and you know, you play way better when you're having fun and you're loose. So.
Well, I was hoping you would say that because, you know, I get the feeling you had a blast at Sand Valley. I get that. But as somebody who grew up in Wisconsin Rapids, did you have fun in Wisconsin Rapids? What was it like living in my hometown this summer?
Actually, yeah, I really have fun. People are super nice there. Very laid back. I went to a couple of the baseball games and they were pretty fun. And just everybody, like, I spend most of my time around the golf courses. So everybody on the golf courses are pretty nice and they're pretty open to meet people that are not from there, which, you know, on all the parts of the United States that I've been, that's the part in Wisconsin Rapids is where I felt the most welcome, and I didn't thought it was gonna be like that. So I had a lot of fun because people made me feel that I was at home, and they made it inclusive for me. So I made really good friends. I played amazing golf in amazing golf courses, and just the vibe was very laid back, which I like because I'm from countryside, all the way from Venezuela. So it felt kind of like home, that vibe. So I had nothing but to say great things about Wisconsin Rapids.
Did you have a favorite restaurant? Did you find a place, find places to eat and just hang out?
Let's see. I really like the wing Friday wing nights at the Regis,
Oh,
which
really?
is the yes, Friday
Wow.
wing nights at the Regis. And whenever I had a bump or I had to wait for a loop, I will go into the Lake Arrowhead
Oh, yes.
Clubhouse.
Yes.
And the cheeseburger there with fries was just fire. It
I
was amazing. Yeah, that was pretty good. And
love
oh,
it.
yes, I do have a favorite place in Wisconsin Rapids called Hamburger and Chips.
Oh,
Chips and Hamburgers.
wait,
That
on the
is,
west, not on the west side, not the not
yeah, on the other
the
side of the river that is close
Yes.
to an ice cream place.
Yes.
So I will go on my bike, eat burger with fries, then wait for a little bit, and then go to the ice cream place and get an ice cream.
Well, so
So,
that's Chips Hamburgers, and it's
chips and
a
burger, yeah.
yes, and they've got when I was there growing up, they had three locations: my mom's hometown of Merrill, my hometown of Wisconsin Rapids, and then up in Marshfield. I'm not sure the Marshfield one's still there, but they're charbroiled burgers, and they are the best. And
Yes, they're amazing. They're
oh my
really,
gosh, and
really good.
there's only a handful of places in the world you can get those, and you found it. I'm
Yes.
impressed, Juan. I'm very
Yeah.
impressed.
And I always used to get the double cheeseburger with fries. And then I will wait for a little bit, and then I will ride my bike to the ice cream place, and I will get a vanilla chocolate ice cream.
So you biked from you lived on the east side of the river though,
On
right?
the yeah, I will bike. It will be like a 15 to 20 minute bike ride.
Sure.
Yes. So I'll bike there, eat my fish and chips. Then back to ice cream place, and then just bike back.
How did you get to Sand Valley then? Did you have a car?
No, I didn't have a car, so a friend just gave me a ride. Yeah,
Really?
yes, I bought a car thanks to somebody, actually. Well, yes, I didn't buy a car. It was funny. I got a family that I met. Her daughter was going to college, and they were gonna get rid of a car. And I was just about to buy a car, and they called me asking me if I already had a car, and I was in the verge of buying one, and they were kind enough to give me with that car that their daughter wasn't gonna use anymore. So I didn't end up buying a car. Some people give me with a car, but either way, thanks to Sun Valley, I was gonna have a car. So Sun Valley was nothing but great to me.
Well, I tell you what, you did wing night at the Ridges. You got to see my friends Daryl and Joel over at Lake Arrowhead for their burgers. You got to
Yeah.
do the chips thing, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball team, and you if you don't get back to Sand Valley, you've lived the life in Wisconsin Rapids, Juan.
Yeah.
You're off to a great start, but we hope that the winter on the and off the golf course goes well, and we'd love to see you back at Sand Valley. But if we don't, we know that. It'll be for a good reason. So I appreciate you taking the time to
Thank you.
talk to us. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the way the year went? Do we miss anything?
The year went. No, the year went amazing, you know. How everything worked out, it was amazing. I mean, I mean, Sun Valley was nothing but amazing. I love my boss, Beanie, and I made great people, great players. Hutch, I met Hutch there. He's, I learned, I just, we just played twice golf. He played PGA Americas, but I learned so much from him. And then also Charlie Delsman.
Oh,
I met him
right.
there. He has a course record at Sun Valley with a, I think with a 60. And he shot
Yeah.
also 60 at the Mammoth Dunes. So just playing with people like that, you learn a lot. And there is so many great guys that I met there and that I play, Rom, Berto, Juan. In Sun Valley, they don't call me Juan because there was already a Juan there.
Oh,
So
really?
they decided to call me Dos, which is two in Spanish. So yeah. So which and they will write it Dos like DOES.
Yep.
So that's how they called me there in San Bali, Dos, because there was already a Juan there.
Yes.
And you
And
know
does could be like the female deer that prance in the woods out there in central
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, no, San Bali was just amazing and it was great. It was great.
Well, I think my old hometown is indebted forever to the Kaisers for bringing the Sand Valley concept to central Wisconsin,
Yes.
and to give people like yourself an opportunity to come through there. It's a wonderful place. It was a great hometown growing up, and I'm just I, I'm I you you I cannot believe it's become this golf mecca that it's
Yeah.
become because of Sand Valley, and of course with Lake Arrowhead, Bullseye, the Ridges, Century World, and Northern Bay all around there. It's pretty cool. It's neat that a place that's only got golf about 6 months a year can have that kind of impact. Well, Juan, I appreciate the time you spent
No,
here
thank you.
today, and good luck the rest of the winter, and we'll catch up again next year.
I appreciate it, Rob. I appreciate you. Thank you
All
for
right.
everything and hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. That's Juan Andres Hurtado Molina. He is a Sand Valley caddy who's trying to make it to the PGA Tour, came within a shot of getting there for at least a week this summer during the 3M Open, and he's chasing the dream this winter down in Florida, and hope to catch up with him again in 2026. For Juan, I'm Rob. That's been Talking Dot Golf on Wisconsin.golf.